Thank you, ladies. Well, it is the first Sunday of the month, which means we come back to our first Sunday series that we're doing this year in celebration of our 40th anniversary. For those who haven't been with us, what we're doing is on the first Sunday of every month, we are coming back to thinking about our history as a church, what we believe, have always believed, what we still believe, reaffirming it, letting people who haven't been around the 40 years know what we believe, what we value. And this is the seventh message in the 12-part series. I look forward to these first Sundays because it gives me a chance to think back on the history of our church and to kind of reflect on where we've been, what God has done, reflect on what we believe, what we value, how that's worked out. You also get a chance, as you're doing that, to be reminded of people like the Asleesons and others who were a part of us. In fact, you'll notice on your study sheets, there are blanks today in honor of David Asleeson. So that's why they're there. Today we're going to talk about, I guess what you would call the vision of our church. You know, so many groups have what they call vision statements. A vision statement or a vision is simply a picture. It's the idea when you look out there at where you want to go and what you want to achieve. That's your vision. And then that affects everything else you do. As you move toward that picture of what you're looking toward, it impacts every step along the way. It's called a vision. And we have a vision as a church that was set years ago, and it is still our vision, and will continue to be. So I want to talk about that. Let's pray first, though. Our Father, we give you praise for this opportunity to go into your Word and to think back on what you've done here, to think back on what we're committed to think back on what we believe, to think back on why we do what we do. And Father, we are thankful for what you have done through the people that gather here, who are part of this body. And Father, we can see this vision moving along as we move toward it. We thank you for that. Pray that you would speak to us today. Different ones of us probably need to hear different parts of this. Father, you know what that is. Make it very clear to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, question number one. How do we measure health, growth, effectiveness of a local church? It's an important question because hopefully every local church wants to be healthy as a church, wants to be growing, and wants to be effective as a church. But how do we measure that? How do we determine if that's happening? You know, some of you, like Janine and I, as your children were or are growing up, you have somewhere in your house this thing that you keep track, right? You measure. We have a 2x4 on one of the walls in our house, and it's got all these marks and names of our children and dates. And every once in a while, we would have the kids stand up against that, and we would make a mark, you know. And what was the measurement? Inches, feet. That's about it. And that's how we measured whether our kids were growing or not. And obviously, there would have been a problem if one of the kids' marks was always right here. And 5 years later, it was still here. And 10 years later, it was still here. And 20 years later, it was still here. That'd be a problem. But many of us do that. It's our measurement for growth, as far as our children are concerned, in inches and years. But how does a church measure health, growth, effectiveness? Now, there are some things that churches could use. Probably many do. First of all, a primary one might be attendance figures. You know, the numbers. When we began our church back in 1979, we were averaging about 30 on Sunday mornings at the town hall. Today we average about 215 here. Is that the measurement for health, for growth, for effectiveness? Maybe we could use facility, property. You know, we started out in a town hall. Then we had a small church that eventually burned down. And now we're in a bigger building. And we purchased land to increase parking. And our guys do such a wonderful job of using every square inch in this building and keeping it up. We've come a long ways. Is that how we measure our health, our growth, our effectiveness as a church? Maybe we would look at financial situations. How are we doing financially as a church? God has blessed this church with givers, generous people. We thank you for that. We have no debt, none whatsoever. Is that how you measure health, growth, effectiveness as a church? Or maybe you look at the programs and the ministries of a church as a measurement. If that were the case, we have a lot of measuring to do. We have many ministries going on, all kinds of ministries, all kinds of programs for every age, different kinds of ministries. Is that how we determine and measure our health, our growth, our effectiveness? Or, of course, the one that's dear to my heart is Bible teaching. Do we look at that for the measurement of growth and health and effectiveness? Bible teaching goes on all the time around here, not just Sunday mornings. And we have many who teach the Word of God to different age groups. Another might be missions. We just heard about an opportunity we have, a new opportunity, which is exciting, to help out on the reservation. And we have these maps of over 20 countries that our people have gone to, long-term or short-term, over the years. We support missions. Over 20% of our income supports missions. Is that how we measure our health and our growth and our effectiveness as a church? Now, all of those things, those seven things that I just presented to you, are good things. They're great things. They are very positive things to look at when you're thinking about a local church. But I want to suggest this morning that they do not involve our vision. Our vision isn't to have an average of so many on Sunday morning. Our vision isn't to have a certain picture of a financial situation. Our vision isn't to have this many buildings or this size buildings. Our vision isn't to have this many people involved in missions and this percentage of our giving going to missions. Our vision doesn't even have to do with the number of programs and ministries and even Bible teaching opportunities that are here. Our vision doesn't involve those things. They're good things. They're positive things. Our vision is stated for you on your study sheet. It's also appears over here on this banner all the time. And those of you who tend to sit over here every Sunday, I hope you know this by heart because you look at it every Sunday. If this is the first Sunday you've seen it, now you over here are excused. If you sit there every Sunday, you can't even see the thing, can you? All right? And then you middle ground people, you probably have seen it. But it's there for us all the time to remind us of our vision as a church. And it simply says, and you guys will have to read it off the study sheet, but it says, transformed lives, fully devoted followers of Christ. That's our vision. That's what we're headed toward. That's why we do everything we do. That's the picture of what we want to see. Transformed lives. Fully devoted followers of Christ. Because you can have a great attendance and not have that. You can be doing quite well financially as a church and not have that. You can have a lot of programs. You can be very busy, but not have that. You can have a wonderful facility and keep adding to it and not have that. And you can be very involved in missions and giving to missions and not have that. And get this, you can even have Bible teaching going on all the time and not have that. But that is our vision, that we would see transformed lives producing fully devoted followers of Christ. That vision begins with salvation, right? You can't have a transformed life unless salvation takes place. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul talks about this in verse 17. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, has been united to Christ in salvation, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That's transformation, isn't it? Isn't that what the word transformation means? Change. So transformed lives means changed lives. And that starts with salvation. Those of you who are enjoying God's salvation, you belong to Him through faith in Jesus Christ. Is your life the same as it was when you came to Christ? Did your life change when you came to Christ? I hope so, because what does the Scripture say? If any man or woman is in Christ, a new creation. I can't figure out, based on that Scripture, how someone can say they have come to salvation and yet they're the same as they were prior to that. That does not calculate in my mind based on that verse. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are going away. New things are coming. There's a transformation that begins with salvation. And then it continues with what we call sanctification, just to get another S word. It's a big word, sanctification. It simply means the process of growing as a person who's come to salvation. We come to Christ through salvation. It changes us. It transforms us into a new kind of person. But then throughout our Christian life, we are to continually be growing and changing. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. First two verses. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Give Him your all, is basically what He's saying. Verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind. Once we have given Christ our all, once we have come to salvation, become a new person, we are to keep on being transformed. That's the tense of the word here. It's not pointing to a one-time change. The idea is keep on being transformed by the renewing of your mind as you learn to think differently. Keep on being changed. That's called spiritual growth. Transformed lives, moving toward becoming fully devoted followers of Christ. That's our vision. That's what we want to see happen. That's what we're trying to make possible here. God does the work, but He's called us to put a ministry in place that will help Him do that work of changing lives, transforming lives, moving people to become fully devoted followers of Christ. That's our vision. That's what we want to see happen. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul mentions this again. 3:18, 2 Corinthians. He says, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness. See, that's what is supposed to be happening. Us being transformed, changed more and more into the likeness of Christ. Transformed lives, fully devoted followers of Christ. That's our vision. And I'll tell you what, folks. In these 40 years, that's what excites me the most. As a pastor, that's what satisfies me the most. When I get to observe and see with my own eyes and hear with my own ears transformed lives. People being changed by God through salvation and through His ongoing work of sanctification. And to watch people become more and more fully devoted to Christ. That's what excites me. I like the building looking better. I like extra parking. I like all the involvement in missions. I like the attendance growing, the new people coming. I love to preach and teach the Bible. I love that we don't have any debt as a church. But the ultimate for me is when I see people out here experiencing a changed life through salvation. Or changing and growing in their Christian life as they become more and more devoted to Christ and more like Him. And I could name names. I could go up and down these rows and I could name names to give you examples of people sitting here today that I am so excited about because in these years I have seen that happen. That is health. That is growth. That is effectiveness. All those other things are good. All those other things are positive. But our vision is transformed lives. Changed lives. And lives that keep changing to be more like Christ. Now that's all well and good. But you know what? The second question is, how do we measure forward motion in that? I mean, that's a great vision, but how do we measure if it's happening? How do we measure forward motion toward that vision? Transformed lives, fully devoted followers of Christ. I mean, those other seven things are much easier, right? I mean, for attendance, we can just count heads, right? We can just count. And if that number gets higher and higher as the years go by, we can measure. We can measure financial situations. We can measure facilities. I mean, just open your eyes. We can measure facilities. We can measure missions involvement in giving. Put up another flag. Count the flags. We can measure programs, ministries. Just write them down and count them. 9 Bible studies in homes. Da 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 da. I mean, we can count them. We can measure those things. If those things are our vision. But they aren't. We went and chose something that's hard to measure. It's more difficult to measure than those other things. How do you measure transformed lives, fully devoted followers of Christ? How do you know if you're moving in that direction and seeing that happen? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I think Paul gives some insight here into how we can measure that as a group, as we look at the group of us. How we can measure if we're moving toward that vision. Verse 11, Ephesians 4. Speaking of Christ, it says, "It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers." He gave these gifted people. For what reason? Verse 12. To prepare or equip God's people for works of service. So that, and he goes on to give us 4 visions, 4 ways of measuring if we're headed the direction we should be heading in transformed lives, fully devoted followers of Christ as a group. He says, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach. So here's something you can look for as a group. Until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Gospel unity. When a group of believers are united around the faith and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, relationship with Jesus Christ, that group is moving toward this vision. You see, there are churches that do not have the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. There are churches who say you can believe whatever you believe. The 200 of you can have 200 different faiths. And it's fine with us. Come one, come all. But that's not the sign of a healthy, growing, effective local church. The measurement is unity of the faith. The faith. United around one faith. United around one relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul talks about that in the first part of chapter 4, that there's one faith, there's one Lord, and we need to keep the unity around that. If a church is healthy and growing and effective, you're going to see more and more unity as people's lives are being changed, transformed, and moving into this group unity around the faith and a relationship with Jesus Christ. We share that in a healthy, growing, effective church. The second thing he talks about is until we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So what's the maturity he's talking about? Christ-like maturity. The standard is being like Jesus. And Paul says, until we attain to that. See, that's the vision. That's how you measure. How are we doing as a group of people in moving toward Christ-like maturity? As the years go by, do we see more and more Christ-likeness in our group? The third measurement, verse 14. Then, as we move toward our vision, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching. So here he's talking about doctrinal stability. We don't want to be a church that just goes back and forth to the latest things changes doctrine, changes beliefs every few years. If you've been here the first Sundays of the month so far, you know we had certain major beliefs based on Scripture in 1979, and we still hold to those beliefs. It's called doctrinal stability. We don't want to be a church community that's back and forth doctrinally with every new teaching that comes along. There is truth. And our vision is that we will become more and more stable in our doctrine and what we believe as time goes on. And the fourth measurement would be in verse 16, speaking of Christ again. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. There you have what they call body ministry. Body mean the group of believers. Ministry meaning serving each other. Paul says the church grows when body ministry is going on, when everyone in the group is serving everyone else. That is a sign, a measurement of lives being changed, people becoming more fully devoted to following Christ. It's a measurement of health, growth, and effectiveness. But what about for individuals? Let me just suggest something that we as leaders decided we would look at. Not that we're watching you, but we are watching you because we live with you and we worship with you and we fellowship with you. We're a part of each other's lives, right? So as leaders, we care about you. And we care about seeing this vision happen in your life. Your life being changed. First of all, that you come to Christ and become a new creation. But then that you continue to grow and be changed and transformed and become more and more fully devoted as a follower of Christ. What do we look for? Well, we decided, let's observe relationships. Let's observe each other's as leaders, but let's observe relationships. A good way to measure if this is happening in somebody's life. So, relationship with God. Do we see people growing in their relationship with God, with the Lord? Do we see an increased desire in people's lives to know God more, to know Him deeper? Do we see a growth in people's lives as they come to know Him better and become more firm in their beliefs about Him? Do we see them loving God? It's first command, isn't it? The greatest command, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Do we see that happening in lives? Do we see people growing in their love for the Lord, their desire for Him? So we look at the relationship with God. We listen to what they say, because what we say sometimes, you know, lets others know how you're doing with God in your relationship. Another relationship we can look at is relationship with God's Word. Not only with God, but His Word. It's a good measurement to see if people's lives are being transformed and they're becoming more fully devoted to Christ. Just watch what's happening in their life concerning the Word of God. Do we see a growth in their love for the Word? Do we see a growth in their desire to know the Word? Do we see a growth in their desire to obey the Word? And not only their desire to obey it, but do we actually see people obeying more consistently what they see in God's Word? Do they love God's Word? Do they talk about God's Word? That's something you can look at to see if there's change and growth happening. We look at relationships with other believers. Dave and Carol brought up the one another teachings, all about relationships with other believers. How are they going? How are those relationships going? Do we see changes and growth as people relate to each other and practice those principles and serve each other, encourage each other, love each other? Good measurement. We look at relationships with family. How are families doing? Next month for the first Sunday message, it'll be on family. But we look at marriages. We look at families. We look at parent-child relationships. How is it going? Do we see growth? Do we see change as husbands and wives, parents, children start getting it as far as God's design for the family and marriage, and we start seeing them growing and practicing those things? That's a good measurement. Is this transformed life thing, this devotion to Jesus thing, working in the family and in the marriages? That's a measurement. And we look at relationship with the lost. How do we relate to those who don't know Christ? Are we out there loving them, building relationships with them, looking for and taking opportunities to just share our faith, being ready to give an answer in respectful, loving ways, living our faith before the unbelievers so they can see what it's like, that there is a difference when you know Christ? Are people in our church community having an impact on the little league field, in the high school, at work? Do we see them changing in that, growing in that? That's a good measurement. Hopefully some of you know Christ today because someone in this church family had an influence on you. Hopefully that's the case. So those are things that we can look at to measure. It's not as easy as attendance. It's not as easy as finances or buildings or mission involvement or programs. But it's our vision. And so we have to figure out ways to measure that. How is it going? So that is the final question. How do you fit into the vision of transformed lives? How do you fit into this vision? First of all, do you see it as a valuable vision? Do you affirm it with us? Do you find yourself agreeing that that's a good vision that moves the church forward? Secondly, is that happening in your life? Please, cooperate with us. You have probably the biggest say on whether this is happening or not. It's your response to the Word. It's your response to God's work in your life. It's your response to the Spirit moving in you. It's your response when you hear the gospel and you don't know Christ and you're encouraged to trust Him with your life. This happens because of your response. What does transformed lives, fully devoted followers of Christ, look like in your experience right now? Are you living this? Is this happening? Is your life changing as it goes on? Are you growing? Are you living it? We need to live this vision. We need to do what we can to help people move forward in this vision. We need to be growing ourselves. And we need to be inviting others to try it. Inviting others to know this Jesus we know. Inviting others to grow along with us. I don't know why there are so many Christians who settle for being the same year after year after year. I'll be honest with you. Remember earlier I said I could go down the rows? I could also go down the rows. I'm not going to. And speak of people who for the last 20 years, no change. No significant growth. No closer to being fully devoted followers of Christ than 20 years ago. But Christians. Why do we settle for that? Is that what God wants? Did He save us to settle for just being the same the rest of our life? He saved us so that we could be transformed. that we could be changing and growing and becoming more and more fully devoted to Him. But so many of us settle. And we probably have a number of reasons, but we settle. And if that's you, are you tired of it yet? Are you okay with that? That's not how the life was intended to be, this Christian life. And we want to help as a church community. We want God to use us in your lives. We want God to help us know how to put things into place that if you would choose to, you could experience in a way that brings transformation, ongoing growth in your life. That's our vision. Transformed lives, fully devoted followers of Christ. Are we a healthy, growing, effective church ministry? I'm biased, so I'm not going to answer that. But the measurement is transformed lives, changed lives. I don't want a pastor of another church to tell me about numbers and finances and programs and buildings and parking lots. I'm going to ask them, are lives changing? Have you seen changed lives this year? Have you seen people come to Christ? Have you seen Christians growing? Do you have more fully devoted followers of Christ this year than you did last year? That's what I want to know, because that will tell me if it's a healthy, growing, effective church ministry. Can you reaffirm that vision with me? And can you ask God to show you how to fit into that vision? And maybe you'll want to sit over there next week so you can actually read it. Or just walk over. But if you sit over there every week, yeah, memorize it. Before we start worshiping, read it a few times. God, that's why I'm here. I want to change. I want to grow. I want to leave here this week a more fully devoted follower of yours. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you. Thank you so much for being a God who transforms people. And only you can do that, Father. You're the only one who can change a person, change a life. You just ask us as a church to be a part of that, to put together things that will allow people to let you work in their lives. Father, thank you for that privilege of being a part of it. Thank you for the lives that have been changed here over the years, through salvation, through responding to your word and growing. May we continue to grow. Father, keep transforming us. Show us how we can be more involved. Help us not to settle, just plateauing in our Christian lives. That's not what you want for us, Lord. You have much better. In Christ's name, amen.